Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, I have the honor of speaking with independent candidate for governor of Maine, Elliot Cutler. This is Mr. Cutler's second attempt to win the Blaine House, and he has graciously taken some time out of his busy schedule to be with us today. I am truly looking forward to discussing his vision for the next 4 years. This interview is designed to be a positive conversation where we focus on issues and concerns that business leaders, HR professionals, and employees care about today. I have some questions that not only I have created, but listeners have sent into our website, hrpowerhour.com, over the last few weeks. So let's get started, Mr. Cutler. Welcome to the HR Power Hour.
Nice to be here, David.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. So here's the first question. Very simple, right out of the gate. Why are you running as an independent candidate?
Well, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican, so that really doesn't give me very much choice, does it?
No, that's true.
And just as importantly, I was a Democrat for quite a while. I was a Republican for a shorter while. And I found that neither suit fit very well. I'm not ideological. I don't buy into one ideology or the other, left or right. I don't want to answer to people who are going to buy me the way they've bought the Democratic and Republican parties and their candidates. I just want to be obligated to the people of the state of Maine. And the only way to do that is to be an independent and not to take money from special interest PACs. And I decided that early on and ran that way in 2010, and that's the way I'm running now.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk a little bit about unemployment. Maine's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate is currently 5.8%. As of September, slightly up from 5.6 in August, but down from 6.6 last year at this time. And yes, that's under the national average. Is that good enough?
I'll tell you, David, all over the state of Maine, there are people who will tell you, no, it's not good enough. People will say, look, here I am. I've got a part-time job. It's not enough. It's not enough to support my family. It's not enough to put food on the table. It's not enough for me to buy enough heating oil for the winter. But I'm counted, he or she will say, among the employed. I'm not in that statistic of those who are unemployed. I am desperately, he or she will say, underemployed. And the underemployment problems in Maine, together with the shrinking size of our workforce, are desperately dangerous for the state. And they are imposing on all of us bigger and bigger burdens to carry the rest of the state, more or less. But on people, I mean, it's desperate. And then you go up and down the Penobscot River Valley right now in Old Town and Bucksport and Millinocket. There are well over 1,000 people who have just lost their jobs. And these people are not losing low-paying jobs. These are people losing $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 a year jobs. And we're stuck in the 20th century, and we're 15 years into the 21st century. And we've got to start looking at things in a new light.
So tell me three things that you think a governor can really do to move that number.
Well, number one, and this is going to surprise you when I say this, but I think one of our biggest problems is our lack of confidence in ourselves and in our state. We have, you know, when you're 49th in this and 50th in that, and you're you know, the worst place in America to do business for 5 years in a row, and on and on and on, you get to a point where you're so accustomed to failure that you can't even grasp the possibility of success, and that's where too many of us in Maine are. So the first thing a governor has to do is restore confidence. We got to restore confidence in our state and in ourselves. Then we got to tackle the serious, very serious problems in Maine, and the most serious of all is a workforce that is not young enough, not well enough trained and educated, not ready enough to work. We have a workforce problem in Maine. Number one, it's getting smaller. Number two, it's not, our younger people are not sufficiently trained and educated. We've got to solve that problem first. I used to think, well, it's sort of a chicken and egg. You know, you got to attract new businesses and so forth. Baloney. 95% of all jobs in Maine or any place else are created by businesses growing and expanding, businesses that are already here. And in all of the conversations, almost literally all of the hundreds of conversations I've had over the course of now years with owners and managers of businesses all across the state, that when you ask them, what's the problem? Why aren't you growing and expanding? They don't say, oh, it's our energy costs. I mean, most of them are small businesses. They don't, you know, they walk in, they turn on the lights. They don't say it's our taxes. To a person, they say it's our workforce. I can't find skilled, trained, educated young people to replace these terrific 60-year-olds who are retiring. That's the second thing a governor can do, is really attack the workforce problem. With education, with training, moving people from welfare into the workforce, there's a whole set of strategies we have to pursue. And third, we need to be more creative in identifying what our real assets are in Maine. Those assets that give us a competitive advantage against other places and other states. Those competitive advantages that we can leverage into growth. And I'll tell you a great example. I know this is a long answer, but I'm saving your voice.
That's okay.
let's take Bucksport. Here we are with a mill that's been going now since 1930 or so, about 85 years. It's old. It produces glossy catalog paper. Glossy catalog paper, the demand for it worldwide is plummeting at about 5 to 7% a year. Secular decline.
Absolutely.
Not quite as much of a decline as newsprint, but mm-hmm. steady and steep.
Yes.
Verso and New Page are merging. That was announced months and months and months ago, and anybody with half a brain would have seen what was coming. And so they've announced that they're closing the Bucksport Mill. Now, we can run around like the governor did with Kate Street and try to find someone to come in and try to run the mill and make money that Verso couldn't make, and then go belly up after the giveaways from the state of Maine run out in a few months, just like Kate Street did. That was a bad, bad deal. I don't want to see that deal made again in Bucksport. That's one way we can go. Another way we can go is the mill never gets restarted, and Verso sells the energy plant, which produces 275 megawatts of electricity, to some investor who comes in and runs the energy generation mm-hmm. Plant and sells the energy onto the grid. That's not going to help anybody in Bucksport. The third option, which I've suggested, I've called the president of Verso, I've written a letter to the governor, the third option is that the state of Maine should go in and buy that energy generation plant. It produces 275 megawatts of electricity, which is more than the entire amount of electricity that Bangor Hydro sells to all of its residential and business consumers in its service area. That's a lot of electricity. It also produces 33 million gallons of oil equivalent of process heat and steam. And if the state, through the Maine Energy Finance Authority that I've said we should create, if the state then owns that energy plant, it can sell electricity to new manufacturing companies at that site in Bucksport for 4 cents a kilowatt hour. Now, that's less than Governor LePage wants Hydro-Quebec to sell electricity to the state of Maine. This is a real opportunity. And then all of those 500 people can have jobs again. You know, what a good idea. But nobody in the state government right now is pursuing it. That's the kind of thing a governor can do, a governor who is creative, a governor who's thinking, a governor who sees an opportunity and seizes it. And that's the kind of governor I'm going to be.
Just to follow up a quick second on that idea, would you suggest that
plant, that electric plant, be owned by the government forever, or should it be turned back to the private sector at some point?
Oh, I'd love to turn it back to the private sector, but I don't want to see the electricity sold onto the grid. Here's what's happened to the mill towns in Maine. When Mike Michaud brought a bill to the legislature years and years ago and said, let's split the dams off from the paper mills in Millinocket and East Millinocket, that was the bill that killed the mill. That was the end, the beginning of the end. Because those dams were generating essentially virtually free electricity. There was no energy problem for the mills before those dams were split off. I don't want to see that happen again in Bucksport. Now, I'm perfectly willing. In fact, I'd be delighted if a private sector company would own the energy generation plant in Bucksport and sell the electricity to users right there and not on the grid. But I can't make that happen. What I can do is with a state agency, I can access the lowest cost of capital, tax-exempt debt, which no private sector entity can
correct.
Do.
Correct.
I can own that operation and make electricity available. And you know something? We complain about competing in Maine with low-cost electricity in the Pacific Northwest and in the Southeast. Well, you know where that electricity comes from? It comes from federal investments in the Bonneville Power Administration and the Tennessee Valley Authority. I mean, let's not tie our hands behind our backs. If we want to get Maine moving again, this is the way to do it.
So let's stay with unemployment for a bit. There are many counties in the state, Aroostook, Piscataqua, Somerset, Washington. I did say Piscataqua.
It's the Piscataqua.
Piscataqua River. That's
right
you
here
know,
in Portland.
I know. It's one of those things. I told you I'd make a mistake at some point.
Well, I just want to make sure you read it so your listeners don't get confused.
Sorry. I'm going to skip it. Aroostook, Somerset, Washington County, that all have unemployment rates over 7%.
Yes.
And there is this feeling that there are two Maines, North and South. How does the governor solve that problem?
You know, it goes back to education and persuasion and getting people to all get behind a plan to remake Maine as one community. We have 1,300,000 people in the state. We have one county, Piscataqua, which if it were a state, would be the least densely populated state in America except for Alaska. And it would be really, really, really close. We have another county in Maine, Cumberland, which if it were a state, would be the seventh most densely populated state in America right after Pennsylvania. Now, in those respects, we're two very different states. But in the most important respects, we're one. We have 1,300,000 people, about the size of greater Buffalo, New York, mm-hmm. or greater Memphis, Tennessee. We depend on each other. That is, we wouldn't have as many lawyers and doctors in Portland if it weren't for the natural resources in the counties like Washington and Aroostook and Piscataqua and Oxford and so forth. This is a state that is as mutually interdependent as any state in America. And our challenges are to try to make sure that everyone in Maine has what Teddy Roosevelt called a substantial equality of opportunity. If we do that, if we figure out how to do that, this state is going to take off like a rocket. That's the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, some of the challenges are certainly the ability to get to and from, get goods to and from, to move things mm-hmm. around. And you think mm-hmm. of Eastport, right? I mean, it has one of the best ports you can imagine on a seaboard. But the reality is getting things there are difficult in terms
well,
of
here, you know, here's the challenge in Eastport. Eastport's a fascinating.
I like Eastport a lot.
I love Eastport.
Great place.
I love Eastport. Eastport has raised itself by its own bootstraps.
Absolutely.
You go there now, you know, 7 or 8 years after it was a destitute place. You go there now, there are 5 restaurants open on a Monday night in January for dinner. They have an active port. What they did in Eastport was they got together some years ago, Republicans and Democrats, and they said, let's take off our uniforms. Let's just work as citizens of Eastport and Eastern Washington County and get this done. And they did. And we can do that in Maine. I mean, Eastport when and you know, there are a lot of bad things about climate change and global warming, no question. there are a few good things. One of the good things is that Eastport will, when the Northwest Passage across the sub-Canadian, sub-Arctic Canada opens 12 months of the year, which is going to happen pretty soon, Eastport becomes the closest port to both Europe and Asia.
Correct.
It will be closer to Shanghai than the west side of the Panama Canal. It is the deepest natural port in the United States. No dredging required.
Right. Absolutely not.
Deepest in the United States, except for Valdez, alas, as they say down east, this is Eastport was dredged by God. and it has a spectacular set of opportunities for all of us in Maine. Becomes an important transshipment point, but we've got to connect it to the North American rail system. It's about 24 miles of missing rail link. If we can't figure out how to do that, then we ought to just pack it up. These are great challenges. I mean, Maine is the best turnaround opportunity in America today. This state, right now, right here.
No, I agree. I know you care deeply about Maine residents, and certainly you wouldn't be running for governor if you didn't. What does it mean to you when somebody says, I can't find a job?
Oh, it's like a dagger in my heart. I mean, it really is. And it means that our state, our government has failed these people who are in circumstances like that. And it's what motivates me more than anything